I'm Logan.
And I'm Ryan. And this is Automatic for the People. It's automatic. It's automatic. It's automatic. It's automatic. Hey everybody, welcome back to Automatic for the People, a Legion podcast. Although, we got some Mr. Robot news that we could get into. I don't know if you want to do it before we talk about the Legion episode or after we talk about the Legion episode.
Oh, you might as well talk about it now. Talking about the premiere date?
Well, yeah, we got a premiere date set, and... Hold on. I should have had it brought up, and I didn't, so now I'm typing.
I knew we got a date, but I didn't even look to see what it was.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up. Season 3, premiering in October. So, much later than, I mean, it's been a summer show. So, that's,
they want to run with the big boys, I guess.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it says in October. I don't see a specific date. Crap. I should have had it pulled up. BD Wong will be a recurring cast member. So, we're going to see a lot more of him this season. Sorry. And we got a new cast addition, Mr. Bobby Cannavale.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you do. let's see. He's a big, tall dude. I'm trying to think of what you would have seen him in. Let's see. Oh, yeah, he's an Ant-Man. He's the dad in Ant-Man. The stepdad. Do you remember Ant-Man?
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't stand out to me.
Let's see. He's in, you never watched Nurse Jackie, you didn't watch Boardwalk Empire.
I know who that is.
He's like one of those like guys you get, like, oh yeah, I know who that is. He was in Will and Grace a while, like way back, but you probably didn't watch that either. So, Third Watch. He was on Third Watch. You love Third Watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I know who it is.
So anyway, yeah.
He was actually really young when he was on Third Watch.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Cannavale or Cannavale. Anyway, he's a fantastic actor. And, like, I'm a little worried that it's going to be, like, quote unquote villain of the year thing like we're doing now. You know what I mean? Like last year we had what's his name?
Yeah, I could have told you his name if you hadn't said it.
I just don't want it to be a villain of the year kind of thing. So but whatever. BD Wong being a regular cast member is fantastic. Him joining the cast is exciting. Waiting till October is not my, like, that's the least exciting thing ever to happen to this show. Cause, but on the flip side of that, I don't feel like the studio is probably pushing the show to October. I think maybe this is more of our, no, more of a, we're going to take our time and get it right. So it can't premiere until October.
Right. As long as they do a good job, then.
Yeah. And USA kind of had a history of, like, it shows not having traditional, like, premieres all the time. Like, because I used to watch Monk and Psych, and they did these weird, like, back and forth premieres. Like, sometimes it would be a fall show, sometimes it would be a spring show. So, it's not uncommon for USA to do this, but
it could be an actor thing too. Like, hey, you know,
yeah, availability of the actors. Yeah. Everybody's certainly gotten a little bit bigger since the start of this show, specifically Rami Malek. And for anybody who's only been listening to us talk about Legion, we actually started as a Mr. Robot podcast, if you don't know. So we're talking what little Mr. Robot news we have. But I did want to ask you, since we're not going to get Mr. Robot till October, if you maybe wanted to do something else to fill in the summer.
Well, we got to find something.
American Gods?
What's that about? Man, I don't get to watch a lot of TV. If it wasn't for this podcast, I probably would be behind on Legion. Like, every episode behind on Legion.
It's based on a book written by Neil Gaiman, comic book writer, Sandman, kind of.
I know who Neil Gaiman is.
Okay.
I know I say I don't know who that is a lot, but I know who Neil Gaiman is.
But it's being produced by Brian Fuller, a guy whose TV shows you probably know, but who you probably don't know by name. But he did Dead Like Me, Pushing Daisies, Hannibal. He actually wrote some of the better episodes of Heroes, Wonder Falls. Anyway, great producer. He's bringing the show American Gods, adapting it from a book. It's about this recently released convict named Shadow, who meets this dude called Wednesday. And it turns out that Wednesday is, if I'm remembering this right, Wednesday is a god. And it's all about, like, there aren't just, like, the old Greek and Roman gods. There are actually gods for everything. There's, like, a god of electricity, a god of, like, just whatever. And it's, like, the American gods are, they all kind of, like, live here. But since nobody believes in any of that anymore, they're basically just, like, out there trying to make their way in the world.
That sounds pretty interesting.
It's going to be on Stars. So it's not going to be like as, probably not as quote unquote big as Mr. Robot and Legion, as far as like having the core audience. But it's a huge book, and Neil Gaiman is a big, well-known talent. Cast is pretty nice. Ian McShane is in it, who is just phenomenal. Dane Cook is going to be in it. I don't know how I feel about that. But yeah,
come
like,
on, let it go, man. Let it go.
I guess he's not a bad actor. He's just a terrible comedian. Emily Browning, who you'd know if you saw her. Peter Stormare, who you may not know his name, but you definitely know who he is. Big, tall. Like, he was in Fargo, which you don't really remember. He's the nihilist in Big Lebowski. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. He's like Russian or Yugoslavian
just
or something
makes
like
me
that.
laugh every time I think about that movie.
But yeah, Cloris Leachman, Crispin Glover, Orlando Jones.
You want to hate somebody, hate Crispin Glover.
I mean, he's a weird dude, but it's hard to hate him. Anyway, I wanted to ask you if, because I thought about, like, man, we could do that show, but, like, it premieres, like, fairly soon, and is going to run, it's like 10 episodes, so it'll run over the summer. It premieres April 30th. So I was like, man, it's going to run all summer. That's like, we can't do that and Mr. Robot, so I'll just leave it alone. I'll watch it, and I'm sure I'll bring it up. And then Mr. Robot got pushed till October. I was like, well, I guess I'll ask Ryan if he wants to talk about American Gods.
Sounds good to me.
So yeah, here, you heard it first. We've got a few episodes left of Legion. After Legion, we might take a little break. We'll probably do like a one-off episode here or there. But well, actually we've got what, 3 episodes left of Legion. Yeah. So there'll be a couple of weeks in between, Legion and the premiere of American Gods, but, we're going to talk American Gods. So if you're going to watch the show, stick around.
Every episode, I'm going to steal a Dane Cook joke and tell it.
Yeah. Well, you got to come back just for that now. So anyway, I guess we should dive into Legion. We can get into American God stuff later. I wish I knew somebody that was like devout about the books that we could have on the podcast, because I've read the book and there's like a spinoff book, but it's been years, and while I really, really enjoyed it, I barely remember a lot of it. So
right. Well, that'll make fun for the TV show, though.
Well, it'll be fun for people tweeting us or emailing us or whatever, telling me how...
You're stupid.
if you read the book. So anyway, okay, Legion, Chapter 5. We've got 3 episodes left, which is just...
Don't you think this was the most Mr. Robot episode of Legion?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's a total mind screw. I mean, like, the whole show is a total mind screw, but this episode in particular.
Well, I have one major, major issue with this episode. And, I mean, maybe we should just get that out of the way up front. So we, because, like, flat out, just, I really liked this episode. I was telling Adam, who I do the Batman 66 podcast with, he hadn't watched it yet when I talked to him a few days ago, and he said, yeah, I haven't seen the new one. I was like, well, I don't want to say game changer, but really it's kind of a game changer, and I definitely think it is. But there's like one glaring thing in this episode where it's like 5.5 minutes of just a bunch of exposition of people going like, What does that mean? Like, explain that to me. And I guess I can appreciate that from, like, if
which
you're...
Which scene are you talking about?
When the doctor is communicating with them, like, via the hologram thing, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was the weirdest thing in the episode. Like, what is that?
Yeah,
we haven't seen this before.
Well, I mean, that's fine. Like, I'm okay with that. I was more bothered by the fact that we had characters who should know what he's talking about going like, what are you talking about, so that we understand it.
See, I was kind of looking at it like a different way once the end of the episode comes about, but we can talk about that when we get towards the end of the episode.
On one hand, I appreciate that exposition for anybody who's having trouble following, because it's not like the show is not really damn confusing. It is. But on the flip side of that, the show has not stopped to explain anything to us, and now it did.
Well, see, but I don't want to ruin the end right now, but
I'll talk about it
when we get there.
I get what you're saying. I didn't like that. I would rather him have been talking to himself, explaining things, than have to call people and have them go, "What are you talking about? What does that mean?" And it bugged the hell out of me. But whatever.
They should have been like, "How the hell did you do that?"
Okay, so diving into the episode. Well, did you like the episode?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was good. Except for the giant hologram thing in the sky. And I didn't have a problem with any of the dialogue. It was just the fact that if we've had this the whole time, how come we haven't used it yet?
I mean, that happens a lot, though, right? And not just this show. I mean, there's a lot of shows, especially superpower, like, hero-type shows, where it's like, you get to the point, it's like, why didn't you use that before? Like, if you can do that, David can teleport. Now, I understand he hasn't figured out how to, like, harness that power, like, fully, but he can do it. So, he does it in this episode. I'm assuming that's how he got to the facility so fast, is he teleports. Maybe that's what it is.
Skype really wants me to buy a Subway. Look, I gotta tell y'all this, okay? Subway has a wild-caught Alaskan pollock sandwich. That sounds absolutely disgusting coming from Subway.
From a place whose chicken is only mostly chicken? Yeah,
and it's only gross. Mostly warm, too. Like, would you like it heated? Yeah, all the way, please.
That's pretty funny.
I know, I wish it would quit showing this sandwich. It makes me want to throw up a little bit in my mouth.
Yeah, Skype ads are terrible.
Anyways.
So, you interrupted me. I forgot what I was talking about.
The giant hologram in the sky.
No, I'm not talking about that. It was weird, but it was fine. What were we talking about?
I'm talking about David teleporting to the facility.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess that's what he did. But anyway.
I thought that was some great work that they did, having all those people, like, frozen in the ground and in the walls. And
were you at all disappointed that we didn't get to see it?
No, because
it's like Jaws, right? It's a lot scarier because you don't see it.
Right. I think they showed us enough on the replay of the camera to where we didn't need to see him do that to all those people.
Yeah, it would have been past the point of disturbing.
It also would have made him less of a sympathetic character if you saw him just, like, murder all these people. But because we didn't see it, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. You know it happened, but you didn't see him do it.
Yeah, you really only saw him kill a handful of people.
And he just made them, like, disappear.
And not even all at once. And, like,
I know,
segments.
Like, a little bit at a time.
Like, that's horrifying, man. So, yeah, the opening scene is them bringing Carrie's body back to the facility. And, look, I like this character, so this is going to sound insensitive. But how is she still alive?
I don't know.
I mean, she got shot in the chest. Like, I mean, she was bleeding a lot. And I had to carry her through the woods. And she lived?
I mean, there's people who have been shot in the head that lived. But
yeah, I mean, 50 Cent got shot a bunch and is still alive. So. But I don't know. It just seemed disingenuous to this show. But that said, I'm very happy that she's still alive because I like the character. You were talking about most Mr. Robot-like episode. I mean, it would have been like finding out, like, an episode later that, you know who wasn't actually dead at the end of the previous episode. I don't want to spoil it for anybody who's not watched Mr. Robot, although I think we've talked about it before. But
I have no idea what you're talking about.
In the first season of Mr. Robot, the heartbreaking death. It's just like, what?
Oh, I had to, I was like, I don't know who died. My favorite character died.
We talked about it for like forever. But I don't know. Like it would have been, it kind of takes away from the end of the previous episode for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it was a little dramatic. Like, oh, he just lost a part of himself.
Right.
And then now it's like, oh, no, he didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. So she's still alive. I like the kind of further exploration of their powers where she's like, can't you just, like, absorb her back into you and then heal her that way? Or Dr. Bird is.
Well, there's more of your exposition right there. Shouldn't Dr. Bird already know that?
Not if she doesn't really know how his powers work.
Why wouldn't she if they've been working together for so long?
I mean, she doesn't understand David's powers, which I know they've only been together for a little while, but this is going to sound bad too. I really don't think Dr. Bird knows that much. I think
I think she's stupid.
I think she kind of inherited this whole situation from her husband 20 years ago and is just kind of faking her way through it because she's always so sure about everything she says, and she's been wrong like most of the time, at least half the time. And so, yeah. I liked his explanation of, like, no, because then I would absorb her trauma. And, like, once she's healed enough, we do see him, like, absorb her back in and then take on a lot of her trauma. Like, he looks like he got the crap kicked out of
him. Yeah, I know. And then when she shows back up, she looks fine.
Yeah. So, with a bat, no less. The whole time I was like, where did the bat come
from? I know. That See, that was another thing that bothered me. Like,
but it's so awesome. You just got an extra
bat in there? Like, you just keep a bat stored up in your...
It was so awesome, I really didn't have a problem with it. So, David now knows how to get back and forth on the astral plane, which is interesting. And we get a little more explanation about what happened with, what was his name? Oliver? Her husband?
Yeah, I think that was his name.
So you never saw, Inception, right?
No.
Okay. It felt very Inception-ish. Because that's kind of what Inception, like, you can get lost inside your own mind, like, by going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, or inside somebody else's mind. By going too deep and like you can't get back out. So I like the idea of the astral plane as this place where like you look inward, and he's like looked so inward into himself or whatever world around him that he now cannot find his way back out and has forgotten everybody else exists. Like they're like a movie.
He lives in an ice cube.
So, her mission now, or the most important thing to Melanie now, and I'm wondering if that was the case the whole time, is that...
See, I think so.
That David can bring him back.
Yeah, this was all, I'm going to find a way to get my husband back.
Yeah. It does feel like that.
I really want him to come back, because I feel like this is... like comedic gold, a chance for to take this show that's so, I hate to say convoluted, but there's so much going on, but to have him back stuck in the late 60s, early 70s would be fantastic.
Because he has agree.
No idea, you know, what technology is now. And I just think it's a chance to have some real comedy in the show. I hope by next year that they bring him back.
I hope he's a regular. Like, I hope that by the end of this season that he's found it. Maybe by, like, seeing David and having that conversation, he's then kind of inspired to try to find his own way back. And the season kind of ends with him coming back and helping them or whatever.
Especially if they bring him back and he walks around in that dive all the time. That would just be great.
So we get confirmation like later in the episode, but did you immediately notice how different David was?
Yeah.
So, he's way cocky.
Not just cocky, he's got these, like, he was, like, when he told her he saw her husband, he just had this look on his face, like, and a smirk on his face.
It's kind of an I know your secret thing, you know, where, like we said, maybe she's not the quote-unquote leader that everybody has, like, built her up to be. So, she's just kind of riding his coattails.
Yeah.
I like their back and forth of, like, sometimes they're talking, sometimes they're having psychic conversations, which we still don't know if she is a psychic or not, right?
No, because we don't see her read, like, anybody else's mind or anything.
And David's like, well, I'm going to get my sister, which you've been waiting for. You were excited when that became like the mission. You're like, well, they have a purpose now. That's why I thought you might be a little disappointed in the fact that we didn't actually get to see the raid on this complex to rescue his sister.
I just feel like I had thoughts about that, but I just felt like if they would have shown him doing all that, A, it might have looked bad and totally turned you off on the show, and B, it kind of dehumanizes David to the point where now he's just a serial killer or a mass murderer, not serial killer.
I agree with you. I still would. Based off him telling her, we'll go to D3 tomorrow. We'll kick some ass. We'll save the girl. We'll get a snack. Like, it was like, oh my God, I want to see this. And we just kind of get to see the after effect, which was still pretty horrifying. They go back to the astral plane and they have the whole sex conversation, which...
kind of creepy, right?
Yeah. It was so similar to... like, it was the adult version of Rogue talking about her first kiss with the kid and absorbing all, like, you know what I mean? So that was kind of interesting, you know, because we keep comparing her to Rogue, and to have this very similar but more adult version of her, you know, accidentally using her powers on or using her powers on someone else and then, like, kind of turning that against them was creepy, and it, like, puts her in a more disturbing light for sure. She's not quite the innocent that she runs around, like...
Yeah, I did kind of enjoy that we got to know that she's not necessarily a good Miss Goody Two-Shoes.
Yeah, because she does come off that way.
Yeah, and it's mainly because of the no-touching thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's not close to anybody because she doesn't want him to touch her. So she kind of comes off as looking like she's better than everybody else because she doesn't want to be around everybody.
Yeah.
But that's the thought that popped into my head from, like, episode one when she was telling him, don't touch me. Or she freaked out and took off running.
Yeah. So while they're after... while they're in his head in the white room, as she calls it, while she's sleeping, we see Lenny in this room off to the side that he keeps closed with him planning the assault. And then the next day he's bailed and gone to the complex and just absolutely laid waste to it, which we've talked about a few times now. So we don't have to, like, dive into any of that, but it was, I think, pretty incredible from a like a visionary standpoint how they filmed all that.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I don't know if we've seen anything that looked that good in most of the superhero movies we have. So, it just, and it works so freaking well. And, like, the further they get into the complex, the kind of more disturbing it is until we finally see the video of David taking those dudes apart, which is just so disturbing. And so,
you see the dying doctor.
Yeah.
See, you're wrong.
I got confused here. Well, actually, first, before we get too far away, when they show up at the complex, Melanie and Sid and everybody, they run into, I keep forgetting his name, the old psychiatrist from the facility.
Yeah.
Dr. Kissinger.
Yeah.
And he's begging to be let out. Okay, so the whole time I was like, well, why is he still in there? Like, he talks about seeing David and David wouldn't let him out. And so I don't think that was Kissinger.
We talked about this last week, too.
Yeah, I think you brought it up.
I'm pretty sure that that's not him.
Right, and that the person talking to the sister wasn't him either.
Right.
That it's the eye. Because he can make himself look like other people. So, but, I mean, I guess he would make himself look like Kissinger because she had saw Kissinger at some point. The sister. But, I was like, that didn't make any sense. But looking back on it, like, oh, okay. I see what, like, he thought he could befriend her as the eye and try to get information that they couldn't get from her by torturing her. But if David could see through that, why didn't he just go ahead and kill him? Or could he not see through it? Or did he just not care?
I don't know. That's a good question.
So you think he was the eye as well?
I'm not sure if he was the eye.
Well, you know, later when they leave the complex, we see him following them.
Yeah, and then a little bit later on, we see him as someone else.
Right. Well, that's when I went back and thought.
But why would he? The reason I'm not sure it's the eye is because why would he just be locked
to
in
save
there?
Himself?
And then how did he get out?
To save him, because he wasn't never really locked in there. He was locked in there to save himself. Once David started attacking the facility, he locked himself in there. Or stayed in there. Maybe he was already in there talking to the... Well, I guess the sister wasn't in there. He locked himself in there so that maybe David wouldn't kill him. Because he didn't really have anything against Kissinger, and this would make him see Kissinger as also a victim. But...
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And maybe if they had quote unquote let him out, then he could have stayed as Kissinger and like been with the group rather than have to sneak up, pretend right. to be the telekinetic dude, and then show up and try to kill him at the end. So it would have been more easier to infiltrate him if they just think he's Kissinger. So, but David left him behind and then they leave him behind too. So that's, you know, it's, if that was his plan, it didn't work. So, but yeah, that right after that is when they run into the director dude of the D3, and he tells him, you know, we were wrong and we knew he was coming, and what is the thing he basically dies saying? He wears a human face, which was so freaking creepy. And also completely confirmed something I've been saying since episode one. One of my theories, I still think that both are plausible. And, I mean, spoilers, it's not freaking Mojo, y'all. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that his little death scene, while a little melodramatic, was like kind of made me happy because whatever, screw that dude, he deserved to die. We still don't know what was up with that dog in the first episode, but whatever. Although maybe, I don't know, the whole thing with King and the dog, and that makes me, maybe we'll find out. But that's when the guy calls in on the hologram, whatever, Carrie. I don't know why it bugs you as much. It really didn't.
The thing about it is, why haven't you used it before?
Have we seen them in a situation where they would need to use it?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch the episode. But I guarantee you there's been one.
I mean, we've only seen them on one, like, quote-unquote military op, really. Because last week, they weren't really on, like, an operation. They were basically just out to find out stuff about David. And it kind of turned into this whole military thing. They got ambushed. And that's why it became a thing. So, and they had like, a little special watch or something. So if you don't have the watch, maybe it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work. So that I can totally retcon all of that. I just didn't like all the exposition, you know, explain it to me like I'm three. It's like when somebody starts talking about like medical terms or computer stuff. And it's like, well, tell me like I don't know anything. That way, you know, anybody who isn't caught up, we can kind of catch him up. Which, again, I understand shows need exposition. It was just kind of annoying. So, but the result of that exposition is that, hey, guess what? He is schizophrenic. So, I mean, we already knew that. But Melanie was just in complete and total freaking denial. And now she's got to kind of confront the truth, which may or may not kill her. Carrie starts describing this thing that has been living inside of him for a while. A completely
parasite.
Yeah, completely parasitic separate personality that is now manipulating him. I mean, and if you want me to, I can bring up the Wikipedia page for the Shadow King. And we can dive into all of that, because that's exactly what it is.
I'm going to go 99.9% sure that's the Shadow King.
So, I mean, it's kind of funny, because I saw some stuff online where people are like, oh, it's not going to be the Shadow King, because the Shadow King, when we're introduced to him, is a guy named Amal Farouk, which is, he's an Arabian, he's of Arab descent, or he is Arabian, I don't remember. And he's the Shadow King when we meet him in the comics, like way back. It was like uncanny. It was in the 70s, late 70s, when he was first introduced. But
didn't that have something to do with Storm?
At some point, yeah. He's had, like, confrontations with everybody, so. But what it winds up becoming is, or what we wind up finding, it's, they retcon it into the Shadow King is this, entity that, has lived for a very long time and no longer has a body and just basically hops around possessing the bodies of other powerful mutants. And so he doesn't actually have his own physical form. So that's essentially what Carrie describes, is this thing. And so I mean, with that, I'm with you. Like, I'm 99.9% sure that we're dealing with the Shadow King here. So,
which takes us to some very interesting places based on what we saw at the end of the episode.
Yeah. I feel like we're dealing with a lot of stuff that kind of is inspired by the Muir Island saga. Like, it kind of feels like that to me. Like, Melanie is kind of the Moira McTaggart of the group. You know? She's more... She's not, like, as knowledgeable as Moira was. But she is this very kind of motherly figure. Because the Muir Island saga was all about... Well, a large part of it was about the Shadow King and the Shadow King possessing Legion. So... but yeah, it feels a lot like that. Kind of inspired by that. Makes me want to go back and read that. But it's been a while, so. But yeah, we see, where were we in the episode? Oh,
that the giant hologram in the sky.
while they're talking to the hologram in the sky, David reaches out to Sid psychically and pulls her into the white room and plays the creepiest version of Rainbow Connection ever. I mean, I didn't think you could make that song
creepy.
Yeah. Now, it is kind of a sad song, you know?
Yeah, I was about to say, you could definitely make it sad. You can definitely make it a happy song. But creepy? Yeah, he made it pretty creepy.
And... I'm really curious if he was playing the banjo, like, or if that was, you know, kind of like him pretend playing the banjo and they just added it later, because it looked like he was playing that thing pretty good. So it's funny because I was just talking to this dude at work. He was like, you know, I've always wanted to learn to play the banjo. I'm like, yeah, you know, me too. Like, it seems like a fun instrument. And I saw this, I was like, well, now it just seems creepy. And then he kicks
her. You should learn how to play that song. Yeah. First.
And then he kicks Sid back out, or Sid pulls herself back out to tell them that he went home, that he's at his childhood home. And that's when we jump to them, to David and his sister.
Do you think this is like the first time his sister's seen somewhat full magnitude of his craziness?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. Otherwise,
she looked totally freaked out.
Otherwise, I don't think she would have ever been visiting him. So, yeah, I do think this is the first time she's seen, like, full-blown kind of psycho version of her brother, who is possessed, basically. And so, yeah, I don't know. That whole scene was just kind of a gut punch. Not in a, like, oh God, I'm going to throw up way. Just more of kind of affirming things. But it still kind of really hit home. Like, I thought we were going to do this whole, like, well, Xavier, all that stuff is not part of this universe. And this is actually his family. I didn't know we were going to find out he's adopted.
Yeah, that was kind of like, whoa, that was game changer number one. Like, oh, crap, he's adopted. How crazy are his parents? Because, you know, that stuff, it could be hereditary. Crazy breeds crazy.
Well, I mean, part of his craziness is this whole he's possessed by this entity thing.
Yeah, I know. What did you think about the silent scenes?
Oh, yeah, like so they get to the house, and somehow, I guess one of David's powers, he's able to, like, eliminate sound. And we get, I don't know, it felt like 6 or 7 minutes, but in reality, it was probably only 3 or 4 minutes.
I know, it felt like forever.
Of nothing. I mean, and not even like the nobody's talking of it. It's like the sound is sucked out of the room. You know, like kind of when you put almost like when you put a seashell up to your ear, only it's not the it's this weird kind of it's hard to describe. You know, it must be what a vacuum, like a sound vacuum sounds like. You know, not a cleaning vacuum. But like if you were in a vacuum of
My
sound.
vacuum's loud.
If you were in a vacuum of sound, like I gotta feel like that's what it would sound like. You can still kind of hear something, but I don't know if like my mind was struggling to make me hear something, or if I could still kind of hear something. But it worked incredibly well, especially when Lenny shows back up and scares the hell out of Sid. Like it scared me. I
Yeah,
jumped.
I was, yeah.
And but I mean that's getting ahead of it. Before that, we had the confrontation with his sister where we do confirm that Lenny, Benny, King, and the angriest boy in the world, that the entity that we keep seeing, those are all the same people. And they are all part of David. Now, well, I say the same. Well, no, I think they're all the same person. Like
Yeah,
the
I do
same
too.
personality. I don't think that that's. At one point in time, I thought maybe it was different personalities, but it's just this thing that's basically torturing David, except for the dog. I don't understand the dog.
Well, don't the what I come up with is, as a kid, he needed a friend, and all kids love dogs, so he created this dog that was his friend.
Okay.
And then as he became older. But see, we know Benny was a real person. So, because his girlfriend knew Benny.
Right.
But maybe he absorbed Benny or something. I don't know. Anyway, Lenny, as he became older, just replaced the dog, is what that's what I came up with.
I mean, Lenny was a real person too, but Lenny's dead. Lenny was just somebody he met at the.
Maybe Benny died too, and he stores that in his brain, and
I mean, I could see that.
I don't know. It's a real interesting. That's a rabbit hole you could go down for days. On,
I want to
I
know
mean.
how the doctor, how Carrie got to the house as quick as he did. These people seem to move awfully swift. Like, are they
That
all within
was
like a
a
5 mile
pretty
radius of each other?
funny
It was pretty great. I thought he was the eye. And I'm guessing they did too, because either that or she was forcing him to let her free because she knew there was about to be a fight.
we talked about the bat, but we're about to get to that scene. But before we, why is what's the black dude's name?
Autonomy.
Why is he carrying around a Tommy gun from 1950?
I like that he's this kind of
I mean, it
stylistic.
was a great look, but I'm like, what did you find? Get the oldest gun you could find?
I
I
mean,
mean,
well, here's the thing. Do we have a? I mean, I guess the cars kind of are of modern. When we've seen cars, but.
and we don't really have a time frame, but you do because it's got to be post-70s because
Yeah, because he talks about the. So, it's, I mean, it's at least in the early 90s. So, yeah, you wouldn't be carrying around a Tommy gun. But he looks awesome.
it does look good. It's great, but I'm looking at him like, where did you get that gun?
Mate,
And why do you
okay.
why would you
Well, now think.
choose
Okay,
that
well,
gun?
think about it like this. Okay, so this facility that they're at was built. In what the late 60s, early 70s, or mid 60s, whatever. So maybe the armory that they have, like those are the only weapons they have. Like they haven't updated the armory. So when he goes to get a gun, like his choices are like weapons like slightly older from that era because that's what they stocked it with.
Bats with nails in them.
You know, well, I mean, that felt like a Walking Dead thing to me. So. which you don't, you're not watching that, but I don't know. He looks freaking awesome with his hat and his Tommy gun.
He does look cool.
Dude looks just, he's style. He's all style.
I just feel like they were, you know, doing the scene and, because he doesn't use the gun.
No.
But they're filming the scene and somebody's like, you know what? He would look a lot cooler if he had a Tommy gun in his hand.
No, we've seen.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
We've seen him with that gun before.
See, I didn't remember seeing him with the gun. Well, then maybe that's his weapon of choice then. So
I mean, he's a style over substance guy, I guess. So, I mean, he's definitely about the style. Dude is impeccably dressed all the time.
I know, it's like, it's every time I see him, I just want to see him, like, pop his collar or something.
Yeah, like, I'm cooler than you will ever be. He's like the Billy Dee Williams of the X-Men universe.
Yeah, it looks like he just stepped out of a Jay-Z music video or something.
All right, so yeah, that's the Doc showing up with this collar thing that he has that's supposed to separate the two of them and allow them to talk to David without interference. But they never get a chance to use it because the eye shows up, takes the place of the telekinetic guy, who I wonder if he's dead or if he just knocked him
That's
out.
That's what I was wondering. Like, okay, did we just lose a cast member?
Yeah, because that telekinetic dude is awesome, man. Like, when he rips that door off and sends it flying, all I could think was, like, what if that just landed on somebody? Like, the dude has no regard. So, but he was badass in that first episode when he's, like, just moving people all over the place. It's so cool. But, yeah, so Sid makes her way up into the bedroom, I think, of this their family house and finds the sister, like, in all this silence. And that's when Lenny shows up and scares the hell out of her. And so she keeps trying to talk, and I like what she does, where she makes like a fake noose with her hands and like wraps, like,
yeah,
she's like, no, this is not the talking room, this is the silence room, and then pushes her against the wall and then starts, like, I don't even want to get into the freakiness that is David's own, well, it's not his subconscious, but
making out with himself,
yeah, like, it's so weird, man. And it's the Shadow King, but it's not really, maybe, I don't know. So yeah, it's very, very strange, but I felt like that was just more about torturing Sid than it was about doing anything to David. So, and that's when everybody eventually makes their way up there, and, the eye runs in and tries to assassinate David, which I don't understand how. Her
them going to the white room saved him from being shot.
Because, like, he's mentally transporting them. Unless he physically transports them out of there, like, she's going to get shot. I mean, is she dead? Like, what's going on? So, yeah, they're in the white room, and we get our first, like, definite full-on look at the Shadow King.
Talk about scary, man.
Yeah, man.
That's one scary scene.
Doesn't say anything. Just, like, just keeps moving, you know? And like, with that just, oh, so creepy smile on his face. So, yeah. And I'm just keeps getting closer and closer and closer and closer to Sid. And David just can't do anything. And then she lets out this, like, blood-curdling scream. And then all of a sudden, we're all back in the asylum. Everybody is in the asylum.
And they all look like they belong there.
So
Jean Smart's got this, like, droopy look on her face, like she hasn't slept in days, and she's all doped up on something. And the eye looks like a bum.
But one of the characters you would think would be one of the
yeah, is the psychiatrist.
Yeah, so
she's the psychiatrist.
Yeah, Lenny is the psychiatrist. So, is this a case of I don't know. It's like the Shadow King now using David to trap all of them inside this like fictional version of the hospital.
Dude, there's so many thoughts that went through my head.
Were we in the hospital the whole time?
One of them is Sid always narrating.
Okay. So,
have we been in the hospital this whole time? Because she's, anytime we hear any narration, it's from her. Like she's telling us a story.
Okay.
So, maybe we've been in the hospital the whole time? But that doesn't make for interesting, you know, what are we going to do next season? You know, that's, although I wondered the same thing about Mr. Robot. Spoilers for Mr. Robot, but when you find out that he's really dead, Christian Slater, that is, it's kind of like this big reveal, and I thought, well, I mean, what are we going to do with season two? There's nothing going to be as good as that.
Season two was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I honestly, flat out, do not think that we've been in the hospital the whole time.
Me either. I think that's too easy for this show.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where they're like, ha ha, you know, just, what do you think about that? To leave us hanging on until next week.
So, do you think that our final three episodes of the season are going to be them figuring this out and trying to bust out and like back into the real world?
That would make for a good last three episodes.
Of course, I mean, two episodes ago, I thought that like the big finale was going to be them rescuing his sister. Like, honestly, this is a finale episode. Like, you could have built, yeah. You could have easily built the whole eight episodes up to this point and just ended on this cliffhanger. And everybody would have just been, like, blown away, like, mind freaked, because I can't use the other word. But it's not, you know. So, yeah, what are we building up to in the finale?
That's really my biggest question is, well, I just don't see a finale type thing. Where can we go with this? I don't, even though I know it's going to go somewhere great, but I can't see it coming, you know?
Yes.
Like in Mr. Robot, it was, you know, I was, oh, he's dead. That's his dad. He's dead the whole time. And so I kind of saw it coming, but it was still a great reveal. This show, I have no freaking clue. Like you said, half the time, I don't even know what's going on. I'm just watching the show.
If it makes you feel any better, the cast is pretty much in the same boat, apparently, because Jean Smart gave an interview where somebody asked her about the scripts, and she said, oh, no, like, every time we get a script, we'd compare notes, be like, do you understand what this is? Do you know what we're doing? Like, what is this about? Why is this happening? Like, none of the cast ever really. She's like, we're along for the ride. She's like, and, you know, not that we thought it was bad or, because we don't. It's just, a lot of times we didn't understand where it was going because we don't know the end game. So, yeah, I'm kind of right there with her. So, yeah, I hope that's kind of where we're headed, because I think that'll be fun to get to that kind of ending of them trying to escape. No, I don't know. I just think it would be a fun kind of like flip on everything. So, but other than that, I don't think I have any more. There's not a lot to theorize about with this episode. You know what I mean? Because like it answers so many questions.
yeah, there's a lot of answers, but then it brings up not a lot of questions, but bigger questions. like one really big one, like, what the crap are we've been in here this whole time?
Well,
Which would mean all of everything that's happened existed inside Sid's head, and it had nothing to do with David at all.
See, I don't think that's true. So.
Well, no, because the show is supposed to be about him, so.
Anyway.
This would have been a good, like, series finale episode. Like, you give us this whole series, and then in the last episode, it's kind of the Bob Newhart thing, you know? In the last episode, you find out they were in the mental institution the whole time. That would have been a great series finale. It might have pissed a lot of people off, but...
Yeah, I don't really have anything else about the episode. So, I want to know who his parents are. I mean, comic book-wise, we kind of know, but... In this series, I feel like we're not going to get the Xavier connection, so...
Well, if they never answer who his parents are, then that leaves us to just go, okay, his parents are Professor X and dadgummit.
Gabriel Holler.
Yeah, Dr. Holler. Wasn't she a doctor?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a good episode. I don't really have any. I'm trying to think if there's any more news or anything. We should have saved the Mr. Robot news for last. Would have been fun to dive a little deeper into. But, yeah. I'm excited for season 3 of that. But, October, man.
Yeah, it's a long ways away.
The last season ended in October. but, I mean, I guess it takes time. So... if we gotta wait a year for a season 2 of this, that's gonna suck, man.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that we would get an announcement that they're gonna return in
the like fall.
Yeah, November, September, November.
Yeah, there's been it's kind of getting to be that time. For renewals and announcements of new shows and all that stuff. All our TV superhero TV shows are coming back, so that's exciting. I'm still a little anxious about the fact that we're still waiting for the next season of iZombie, but. I understand CW's got their plate kind of full, so...
That's funny, I was just going to mention... when you said superhero shows, I was going to say, yeah, but we still haven't got iZombie yet.
Well, they pushed it back because almost everything they've done has been pretty successful. Like, but...
Well, they've already renewed Riverdale for season 2.
Yeah. Have you watched any of it?
I've seen probably one episode. Episode 1 and 2 combined, I've seen an episode's worth of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not terrible.
I thought it was pretty good.
It's a little too self-serious at times, but, you know, whatever.
It's 90210 meets Scooby-Doo.
Meets Twin Peaks.
Yeah, meets Twin Peaks.
Fox is like really, really pushing for this next X-Men show that they're gonna be doing. They've got like cast photos are being tweeted out, so I still don't think we know what the concept is. So other than like it's about people that learn their kids have superpowers or something. Which sounds more like the Power Pack and less like, or like that show with Michael Chiklis from a few years ago.
The Fantastic Four.
what was it? No Ordinary Family.
Yeah, no, it was actually a really good
yeah,
show.
Yeah, it was
but
pretty
basically
good.
it was just
Fantastic
the Fantastic
Four,
Four.
yeah. But with X-Men instead of, you know, whatever. Let's see what else is. What I was saying about CW. They have two shows that are going off this year, Vampire Diaries and Reign. So I feel like that's a good shot for iZombie to be back a lot sooner next year, assuming it gets renewed. So, but we'll just have to see. So.
They should renew it just for the intro alone.
It's the best opening theme song in ages, man. Like that you used to could just hook me on watching a show just with a good opening theme song. But nobody does opening themes anymore. Nobody. No. Like half
it's
hour
a lost
comedies,
art.
I guess. You know. Like The Goldbergs has a really good opening theme song. You know. But yeah, so many people just don't do opening credits anymore. It's funny because I was watching At Midnight the other day, and he had this whole thing. He kept doing this whole P.I. opening was like the greatest opening of all time, and they like kept cutting to it, like with the helicopter and that music. And
yeah,
I was like, yeah, shows just don't do that anymore, man.
It's definitely a lost art.
Did you see the Roseanne thing on CBS? You know, Sarah Gilbert, that played Darlene, is a co-host of like The Talk or something, some TV show that they have.
Oh no, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
And she, they had John Goodman on to talk about Kong, I think. Kong is out and he's in it, and they did this. They recreated the living room from Roseanne,
That's
and
awesome.
Had them sitting down talking. And she sits down and she's like, "Dad, there's something I've really been meaning to talk to you about." And like, it's the whole, you know, there was the whole thing like Darlene is actually a lesbian, and like they just never.
Right.
She just looks at him and goes, "I'm a talk show host." It's pretty funny. It was cool to see him back in playing the Dan Connor role. So,
yeah, that show really took a dive off the deep end.
Yeah, in the
Roseanne,
last, yeah, like the last few years.
Yeah,
so.
3 years or so.
Yeah, I was looking to see if there's any other TV related stuff, but there really isn't. So,
no. I wish I had seen Logan. We could have talked a little bit about that, but
well, we're tentatively planning on seeing it this weekend, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's our birthday weekend, man. We got to go see Logan.
I mean, even if it's a midnight show, I'm going to see it.
Oh, Preacher season 2 is coming back June 19th. So.
Yeah, I knew they had announced it. I didn't see what the date was, but
yeah, everybody.
That's another show y'all should check out.
Everybody but Ryan has seen Logan at this point.
I see you. You're right there on my screen.
Oh man, I posted that on somebody's Facebook page.
Leon.
Oh yeah. Stop staring at
it's
me.
It's funny
creepy.
Because he walks up to me the weekend before, or a few days before it premiered, and he was like, he said, "Are you gonna see Logan?" I said, "Yeah, he's coming down our birthday weekend." And he was like, "What?" I said, "Logan's coming down the weekend of our birthday." He was like, "I'm talking about the movie."
Oh yeah, Adam kept texting me. He was like, "So when are we gonna talk Logan? ... the movie. When are we gonna talk about Logan? ... the movie." Like, it's just funny, man. So, oh man. So yeah, we'll be back next week talking about, we'll talk about Legion, the next episode of Legion. Well, we won't have seen Logan by then. So, I've already seen it, but Ryan has.
You know what we should do? We should try to get that guy that played for the Patriots, Logan Ryan, and get him on the podcast and have like this whole Abbott and Costello Man. Like total confusion.
Did you see that the Falcons let Patrick DeMarco walk?
Yeah.
I understand not wanting to pay him, but I really like that dude. That was a shame. So anyway, that's football talk. We don't have a podcast for that. So we're on Twitter at Mr. Robot Podcast. You can email us MrRobotPodcast@gmail.com. You can go check out all the other stuff we do over at FilmDispenser.com, including a whole bunch of other podcasts. I do an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, Deadpool podcast, the Batman 66 podcast. Adam has the B-Movie podcast, which is... it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And he wants to talk to you about Critters very, Ooh. Very soon. There, apparently, there's a set coming out in the fall. So, he and I just talked about Red Dawn, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry I missed out on that.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is what the week before you had mentioned it to me that... y'all wanted to do Red Dawn, and the very next week, this week, all this week, I think it's on AMC or some cable channel. Red Dawn has been on every single day.
Well, they just released a special edition of the movie, so. Oh, by the way, have you been watching Powerless?
I watched the first two episodes and I was like, this is garbage.
It's so cheesy and just, I don't know. I don't think it's funny at all. I know a few people that are watching it that like it. And I'm just like, I don't get it, man. Like,
but I would rather watch a show on the Disney Channel than watch that show.
Yeah.
I mean, A Dog with a Blog is better than that show. Have you ever seen Dog with a Blog?
No, I haven't.
It's terrible. But it's funny sometimes. Powerless sucks.
I mean, I don't think it sucks, but I don't think it's very good.
You got two of the funniest dudes on television since Kramer on this show, and y'all still can't pull it off?
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I agree. It's not very funny. So.
What's the black dude's name?
Ron.
Funches.
Yeah, Funches.
He's hilarious.
Oh, he's a great stand-up.
And then what's his name with from Community?
Was it Danny Pudi?
Yeah, Danny Pudi.
And Alan Tudyk. Who is hysterical. Alan Tudyk is...
he is funny on the show. Him and his secretary are great. It's everybody else is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I have not been enjoying that. And was there no Arrow? Well, you're not caught up on Arrow, Seth.
No, I'm like six episodes behind.
It took another nosedive.
Yeah, you mid-season. Told me. That's why I haven't been... I haven't been anxious to catch up on it.
Flash has been good, though. So, all right. I think I'm going to go get my hair cut. So, everybody tweet us.
Come while back. He's getting his hair cut.
Come back next week, and we'll talk some more Legion and probably some other stuff.
Watch Powerless and tell us what you think.
or don't. You... go look into American Gods. Everybody get prepared, because I think it's either going to be a fun train wreck of a show to talk about, or it's going to be our new favorite TV show. So.
I don't want a train wreck. I'd rather have a...
I'm worried because it's on Stars, dude. Not known for their... although... wasn't the King Arthur show on Stars?
Yeah, it was pretty
good. Yeah, it was pretty good. The lead was terrible, but the rest of the show was good. So, all right. Yeah, go check all that out. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.
a little wedgie for the never believer. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here's a little ghost for the offering. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here's a truck stop instead of saying.